Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me this beautiful Saturday morning. So before we get started with our guest, I wanted to touch on something that I'm seeing a lot, I've experienced, and a lot of people are feeling alone. Alone in their struggles, alone in the battles they're facing, alone with maybe things going on in the world or in the church and not getting the answers they want or need, and they feel alone. And some of you are married, some of you have children, and you still feel alone. And I've had those times in my life where, my goodness, I have 8 children, I'm married, my life is super busy, but there are times where in my struggles, I have felt alone. And I see a lot of people going through that. But the difference is, we're people of faith. We are not people of the world. And with that being said, we know with our faith in Jesus and in the Eucharist that we're never alone, ever, 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 ever alone. And no matter what you're struggling with right now, if it is fear of the unknown, if it is struggles within your household, if it is maybe it's your finances or something happened at your job or just different things coming down the pike that you don't agree with that may be happening or changes in the church and you're not getting answers, whatever your struggle, whatever that vice is, maybe you are having issues with alcohol because you're on lockdown again and you can't get out. I don't know, whatever it is in your heart of hearts, if you are a person of faith and God brought you to listen to this, just know you're not alone and that Jesus is with you. And there were times when I look back in my life and in my darkest moments when I was just like suffocating in my own sin, right? And back when I lived that crazy, reckless, ruthless, very unspiritual life. And I still, in the silence of my heart, and as much as I wanted to ignore God's voice and shut that voice up and get it out of there, and I didn't want to hear it, and I was mad, and I was going to stay mad at God, He still pursued me. He still loved me. He wanted me in the moments of my wretchedness and my filth and my sin and in my own self-hatred. He wanted me and pursued me the entire time. And even it was especially after I had my conversion and after I really look back in those moments, how Jesus really was present for me there, even in my sin. So if you feel consumed or drowning or overwhelmed in your own yuck right now, or your own vices you just can't get rid of, just have courage. Ask for holy courage right now to face whatever that is afflicting you, and ask Jesus for the grace and that you would handle it together. And I would really encourage all of you, if you can hear me, go to confession, go to adoration, get right with God. Because the time is right now, today. And the decisions that we make hold weight. And I've said this time and time again, and I'll just keep saying it. And what you do matters. And you can change the course of your entire life today. And for those of you that haven't been to confession in a while, my goodness, imagine coming out on the other side of that confessional. And there are confessions all over the country today, all over the world on Saturdays, God willing. In other countries, I'm not sure what's going on, but I know in the United States, churches are still open. Confessions are still open. And I would encourage you to go. So if God is tugging on your heart, whatever may be keeping you there, maybe just put it to the side and really go see what God has for you. Because right now, some of you maybe are dating someone they shouldn't be. If you're living with someone that you know you'd really need to get away from, but you're scared because you don't have the means to do it, but God has the means and God has the way for everything. And all we have to do is go to Him. All we have to do is pray that heartfelt prayer, just saying, Lord Jesus, I need your help. Please come help me. And just know, and it's something I've heard Mother Angelica say time and time and time again, and it's on the beginning of all of her amazing live shows that she used to do. And she would always say, Jesus loves you. And some of you hear that, and it's just kind of like water on a duck's back, right? It's like, well, he doesn't love me. They're talking about other people. No, I'm talking about you listening right now. Jesus loves you. And Jesus loves me in the things that I know I struggle in. He loves me when I'm good. He loves me when I'm struggling, but his love helps me in the struggle. So just know you're not alone, and to go to him today, sit in adoration, spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, get your Bible out today, do things maybe today that will spiritually feed you. And when you go to bed at night, you'll rest in peace. You'll have more peace than you did before. And it is worth it. And you will never regret the time that you give God, no matter how hard it is to get there. Because I try to go to morning mass, and it's just been crazy around here, and kids getting sick, and then the other one's sick, or there's just so much pulling at me, and I have to fight for that time. It's unbelievable. And it seems like it's just so hard, but you have to fight. We have to show up to our battle. And the most important battle we have is the spiritual one. And if we can get that right, other things will fall in place. And when I'm at morning mass and I do get to go, it saddens me. There's hardly anybody there. And I mean, now there's more people, I think just because of what's going on. And I understand some people are afraid to go and they don't want to get sick. And I understand. But for those of you that know you can go, and that's not the problem, you're not compromised or you're not afraid of getting sick, you just have other more important things to do, I understand, or you have a job. But the times you know that you can go, go. And I really thought that more people would be coming to morning mass, but I do understand circumstances. But don't be afraid that God is with you, and know I am praying for you. So if all else fails or anything else is going on, just know too that you have someone out there that is praying for you and your struggles. And I ask that you please pray for me and my struggles, because there isn't a person walking on the face of the earth right now, everyone, that doesn't struggle. Everybody's struggling. Everybody sins. Everybody falls. I don't care who you are. It's happening to everyone because we're all tempted. We're all struggling with a lot of different things in our own way. And I just wanted to let you know you're not alone. And that was really weighing on my heart before I came on and I was praying. And I just wanted to convey that. And something that I found that Mother Angelica said is, there will be hard times. Your faith will be attacked and your doubts will increase. What will you do? Persevere in prayer, she says. And right now, maybe some of you just don't want to pray, but the end of the day, you got to show up to that fight. You got to push it. You got to maybe just force it sometimes. But God sees that struggle, but he sees the effort, and that matters. So we pick ourselves up and we keep going and we move on, and we're God's people. And a good starting point over is always, hands down, confession. So that is something I'd love to encourage you to do today. And the show that we have for you today really goes along the same lines of everything that I have been talking about right now. And I have the beautiful Meg Hunter Kilmer on. And she wrote this absolutely wonderful book. I'm really excited about this interview. And she just blows out the water the preconceived notions of holiness and who saints are, what it takes to be a saint, their struggles, what they went through. Because these preconceived notions that we have is, oh, that's a saint. It's just, you kind of separate yourself. Like, it's an unreachable, tangible thing for us. We're kind of separate. And to a certain extent, we are. But God is telling us we can attain it. And it doesn't mean it's easy, but it is attainable. So with that being said, I am excited to introduce Megan Hunter Kilmer, and we are going to talk about her book, Pray for Us, 75 Saints Who Sinned, Suffered, and Struggled on Their Way to Holiness. So stay tuned. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Ever, and we are here with Meg Hunter Kilmer. Thanks for being here at Women Made New.
I am so excited that we were able to make this work, Crystalina.
Wow. Did we jump through some hoops, or I jumped through some hoops and you just had to jump through them with me, Meg, because this was crazy. This was crazy. I have to tell you, everyone, I went to go do my interview and I open up my computer and I just, that day we had, I had a lot of radio stuff to do, and there was chocolate sauce covered everywhere on my keyboard. I couldn't believe it. And my son, my little son, well, not too little, but he was watching my little 2-year-old, and I just was absent-minded and I left my computer on the couch, and he must have opened it up and he was eating chocolate, and the chocolate stuff, it just was everywhere. And my keys weren't working. Nothing was working or turning on. It was a nightmare. It was a radio host nightmare. Let's put it that way. So
it's awful.
We had moved things around and things were a little crazy for a little bit there for me, but yeah, just a little mama story there for y'all. It was pretty crazy. So Megan, thank you for your flexibility. That was awesome of you, but I am really excited to interview you about this book, Pray for Us, 75 Saints Who Sinned, Suffered, and Struggled on Their Way to Holiness, which is so perfect for our time right now. So please tell me, what made you write this book?
You know, I love the stories of the saints, but I didn't always, because I feel like the way that I usually heard them told was very, very saccharine, very bland, very sterilized. And it took out all of the personality and it took out all of the struggle. And there was suffering in there for sure, but it was like, you know, stigmatis type suffering, not the kind of thing where you read it and you're like, oh my gosh, Jesus is with me in my struggle. More like, oh, my suffering doesn't really count because it's not dramatic and the devil isn't, you know,
extreme
tackling me in the night, right? And I discovered after many years of sort of ignoring the lives of the saints that the problem wasn't the lives of the saints. It was the way that we had, the way we'd started telling their stories. We'd forgotten about the delight and the adventure and the real personality. You know, I think that for so many of us, we just feel like we are ineligible for holiness. And maybe it's because of past sin or current struggle, or maybe it's because of disability or mental illness, or maybe it's just because we have a personality that doesn't match what we're reading in the lives of the saints. And as I began to research the saints, I realized that every type of person that I encountered, every type of struggle, every type of shame was represented in the lives of the saints. And that when I started telling those stories, I would see people's eyes light up. And it was like they were finally hearing for the first time in their lives, God say to them, no, you are eligible for my love. You are good and you are loved and you have the potential to be a saint. Not just like everyone generically can be a saint, but like you specifically, with your dysfunctional family, with your childhood abuse, with your struggle with addiction, with your love of video games, you know, whatever it is, you can be a saint. And so I wanted to start telling those stories.
I love this book for the fact alone that it's so real and it's so tangible. And there isn't one person walking on this earth that couldn't relate to one of these saints in here, because it's got it all. I mean, it's got it all. And it really brings sainthood to kind of a level that you can grasp that, wow, that is what I struggle with, but God really is going to have the grace for me there, along the side with the temptation or with the attack or with anything going on. He really does give us the grace in that moment.
Exactly. And to see these saints for whom it really was the struggle that made them saints. I mean, I love Saint Jerome. You know, everybody knows Jerome had this temper problem, but it occurred to me a few years ago that maybe the reason God didn't answer his prayer to be released of his temper is because that's the way that God was making him a saint. You know, maybe the alternative was Jerome being sort of a mediocre guy who didn't struggle. But because he struggled, because he fought again and again against his temper, that gave him the grace to really run after the Lord. And seeing that over and again in the lives of these saints, where you think of St. Mark G. Tianshang, who was addicted to opium for 30 years, like maybe that's what made him a saint, is that he persevered in that struggle. And so to be able to look then at our struggles and to say, well, if God hasn't taken this away, it's because he's using it to give glory to his name and to make me a saint.
Yes, because people get so down on themselves or have a pity party or just like, well, this is just how I am. And they don't know how to separate themselves from the vices that are attacking them, because some people have struggled with something for so long, they feel like it's a part of them and who they are. And it necessarily isn't. Right. And I think that's what the saints have realized in their struggles and in the hardships they had, that, look, this is afflicting me, but it's not who I am.
And the more that we see that in the lives of the saints, I think the more we can look at our own struggles and say, mm-hmm. you know what, this might be something I suffer with for the rest of my life, but then I'm going to be the patron saint of eating disorders. Right. Or I'm going to be the patron saint of children who leave the faith, right? To recognize that this might not be something that the Lord ever liberates you from, but it might be the thing he liberates you through.
Wow, that's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. And that is so true, because right now people are suffering in so many different ways, but really intense stuff in so many people's lives. It really seems right now, Meg, that there's not one person that I'm a friend with, family member, or just kind of a coworker that isn't struggling, but with something serious.
Absolutely. And I think that it's very easy when we've been overly influenced by sort of this cult of positivity, particularly within Christianity, that's like, well, Jesus rose from the dead, so it's all good. And you're like, I mean, yes, Jesus rose from the dead. And yes, ultimately it will all be good. But this right now is miserable, and it's okay for me to be miserable right now. I love Blessed Benedetta Bianchi Porro, who was a 20th century Italian med student. She'd had polio as a child, and she had a slight disability from that. And then when she was in med school, she started losing her hearing, and the doctors didn't believe her. They told her that she was imagining it. I mean, how much can we sympathize with this as women who so often have had these issues when we're trying to get help with medical concerns, right? But the doctors are like, no, 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 you're fine. You're fine. And eventually she diagnosed herself with a neurological condition, degenerative, that was eventually going to rob her of all five of her senses and paralyze her.
Wow. You know right? What? I experienced that. I'm going to be straight up. I actually experienced that, because when I was pregnant with Luke, and I was about 7 months pregnant, right? Mm-hmm. I just bent down to get a little juice box out of this little house they had. And I was like, I was so big, and I felt like I was ready to give birth, even though I was so far away still. But you know, your body becomes so lucid, and there's so much going on at that stage, because you're kind of crossing over and you're in that third trimester, right? And I felt like when I bent over to do this, I was in so much pain. I was in so much pain, Meg. I haven't been in more pain in my life, right? And I felt like something dislocated. I literally felt like something dislocated in my back, and I couldn't even stand up. I couldn't move. I was in so much pain. And so Jason had to carry me literally 7 months pregnant to the car and carry me into the emergency room.
Oh.
And thank God the lady came with the wheelchair, because I was massive. Okay. And, let's be honest. And I kept telling the doctors, look, I'm dislocated. Something's not right. And they're like, no, it's just a pinched nerve. It's just a pinch. It's your sciatica or whatever, which I've never had that problem before. And nobody was listening to me. Mm-hmm. And I literally was bedridden from that point on until after I had Luke, because I couldn't move. They kept saying it was my sciatica. And I kept telling them, no, something's seriously wrong. And I didn't want them doing x-rays and things while I was that far along pregnant, you know? Mm-hmm. So I literally was pretty much bedridden for a while. And it wasn't until after he was born that they found out I was dislocated. just like I said, and mm-hmm. nobody was believing me. And, but really it was such a great, that time of great, great suffering I went through, really. And it was so painful to even move, that the grace of God was with me, and I was praying and I was reading, and I really felt such a close connection with God. And I could have gotten bitter and angry and mad. And here I am again on our eighth child or ninth child or whatever, you know, like mm-hmm. they all mesh together. But it's in those times of great suffering that it seems like you really can connect with God, that you really have that relationship, and that you just offer it up to him. Cause it really honestly can go either way, and people in their suffering, especially even now with COVID and so many loved ones passing away, and just that bitterness that can just set in your heart like a disease and just take over, and the hatred and just, oh, why am I going through this? And, you know, and just to fight that. And I really encourage any of you that are struggling with that, really fight that. And as angry as maybe you even are with God, or mad, or don't understand your situation, there are so many saints out there that you could relate with that really can help you in your walk and journey. And this book is perfection. It really goes through so many different vices and so many things people are struggling with. Even though it was way back in the day, some of them, you really can bring it into right here and right now in their lives. And just to recap, I am talking with Meg Hunter Kilmer, and we are discussing her book, Pray for 75 Saints Who Sinned, Suffered, and Struggled on Their Way to Holiness. Now, Meg, who is your favorite saint out of all of these saints that you learned about?
Ooh, my best friend in the book is Blessed Peter Kibbe, who was a 17th century Japanese Jesuit who traveled all the way from Japan to Rome in order to be ordained, because they wouldn't ordain him because he was Japanese. I mean, he just ran into racism in the church again and again. And finally he was like, I will go to Rome. And he walked from India. He walked 3,700 miles.
Wow.
So he's really great. You're talking about pity parties, right? He's really great for me when I'm just feeling super sorry for myself. And I'm like, my life is really hard. And like, sometimes it is legitimately hard.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel that consolation. And sometimes it's actually not. Like, you know, I just don't want to walk up a flight of stairs to go to church. And I'm like, I already did stairs today. And Blessed Peter Kibbe is like, I walked 3,700 miles and yeah. I really need you to get over yourself.
Yeah.
So he is really lovely. My favorite, who I learned about while doing the research for this book, is probably Blessed Paul Taoshang, who was a Hmong man living in Laos. And he converted when he was a child, entered seminary, discerned out of seminary. And he was just this brilliant evangelist. Incredibly successful. You know, he would show up in this Hmong village and 400 people would sign up to be baptized. And the powers that be, the priests who were in charge, were suspicious because they had just forgotten the incredible power of the gospel. And they were like, he must not be preaching the whole truth. You know, he must be doing sketchy things with the women, and that's why they're interested. And so they pulled him from the mission field.
Wow.
And it's just so beautiful because their attitude to him was very patronizing. It was very suspicious. I mean, it was the kind of thing that he's 19 years old. It's the kind of thing that he could take and be like, I'm done, right? Like, I was so successful. He was about to get engaged to a woman in this village when the priest told him that he had to leave and not come back, right? So he like loses the love of his life. He loses his career. He loses all this success. And it's all at the hands of the church. And he was able to say, you know what? God is still good. And there are ministers in the church who are being cruel and who are being callous and who are being maybe even abusive, but God is still good. And so for us, you know, as we struggle with issues with the hierarchy or with maybe difficult encounters with priests or looking at the abuse crisis in the church and saying, how is it possible that this is God's church when there is so much ugliness, to sit with Blessed Paul Taoshang and to ask him to pray for us, that we would be able to recognize God's goodness in the midst of all the mess that is the church. And in the end, he went on one last mission with an Italian priest. And he was like, well, we got to be careful because they might think you're American. And the U.S. was in the middle of a military situation there. And he was like, oh, no, I'm Italian. I'm good. And they were caught by these communist guerrilla warriors. And they said to this young Hmong man, they were like, you can leave because you're obviously not in league with the Americans. And here was this guy who had been so wounded by European priests. And here he's looking at this European priest who's about to die. And he absolutely could have just cut and run. And he said, where he goes, I go. And where he dies, wow. I die. Just the faithfulness, like his love of Jesus and his love of the church, having been so wounded, is such an inspiration for those of us who have been wounded in the church to be able to say, but God is still good in the midst of all of this mess.
You know, and it really seems like the saints and even Mother Angelica said this, that it's just the difference between us and everybody else holy people or saints is that you just keep going. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And people do fall. Of course they fall. Everybody falls. Everybody's a sinner. No one has passed through this earth who isn't, except obviously the Blessed Mother and Jesus, you know, right. But that's a whole different story. But that's the difference. We just keep going. We rise above the sin we did, or we keep going, even though we struggle with that vice. We just have to keep going and be faithful to what we know God is asking us to do in the depths of our heart. And deep down, everybody knows right from wrong. Everybody knows if they should be dating someone or not dating someone, or being in a job or not being in a job. Or deep down, your conscience speaks to you. God is speaking to you, and you know what you should be doing and not doing. And I think the saints really perfected in just always doing God's will at all costs. At all costs, they just kept going. They kept saying yes, and they always did his will with the utmost obedience. And they did it with haste. And I think so many people now are stuck in their head, and they don't go to that place where God is in their heart. And they're so worried, and they're so self-consumed, and they're consumed with the world and all the problems, that it's hard to separate things. And I was at Mass this morning, and Father was talking about how much noise, the noise, and he's driving, and there's this guy that pulls up next to him, and his heart was pounding because the music was so loud, and his car was affecting him in with the other car. And he goes, I can't imagine what his home life is like. You know, and you never think of that when you feel those bumps from that car. And everyone knows what I'm talking about, pretty much listening. Right. And it's just like everyone needs to look at their interior silence and do that kind of spiritual inventory to kind of see where you're at. Because some of you are listening to us thinking, oh, wow. Yeah, I'm so far from a saint. That's great. That's so never going to be me. But the question is, well, why not? Why put yourself in that place? Why can't you be a saint? You know? And I think we sell ourselves short, and we give so much to the world that we don't realize what God is really asking us and what we're capable of, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think when we look at some of these really ordinary saints, there's just so much hope there. I mean, everybody loves Blessed Carlo Acutis with his PlayStation and Pokemon and all of that. He's in the book with all of the little details that I could find about him, because I find those so fun. But I also really love Blessed Luigi and Maria Beltrame Quattroque. They're a 20th century Italian married couple, four kids. That's it. That's the story. They didn't do anything remarkable, but they lived a holy family life, and they raised holy kids. They actually have a daughter who's a venerable now. And my favorite thing actually about their story is that we have some of Maria's letters when she discovered that she was pregnant. And she seems never to have been very excited. In fact, most of the time she's devastated. And so we see these letters where she says, you know, how can I possibly think of one more child? I am close to despair. And that's not before she was a saint. That's what holiness looked like for her, because feelings are not sins. You're not a bad Christian if you're not delighted by a positive pregnancy test. You're not a bad mother if you're not delighted by a positive pregnancy test. To be able to look at this saint in this ordinary life, I mean, she's a mother, but she's also working. She wrote and she edited books, and she was a nurse for the Red Cross. And then she discovers that she's pregnant, and she probably had hyperemesis gravidarum, but she certainly had very difficult pregnancies. And she gets this positive pregnancy test, and she's like, I absolutely cannot do this. This is the worst thing I've ever heard. And for so many women, especially women practicing NFP, to be like, oh my gosh, it's okay. Like, I'm not alone in this. I'm not a bad mother. I'm not a bad Christian. Like, this is the way that God is working. And it's okay to feel your feelings, right? Just such a beautiful gift that we have that evidence, because there are so many saints where they had experiences like that, and we just don't have the letters, you know? And so to have it right in front of us to say, oh my gosh, like, normal human emotions are things that God can use for his glory.
Oh, I absolutely love that, because I've had girlfriends where they've experienced that. I've experienced that myself. My goodness, I have 10 children. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course I've experienced something like that. It's a lot and it's overwhelming and just thinking, wow, how am I going to do this? You know, but by the grace of God, he wouldn't have given you that child if you can't handle it. But there are those moments, but they're moments and those, they don't just define you and that's not who you are. But I love what you just said about feelings and it's so absolutely true. I love it. I want to hear another story about a female saint.
Ooh, there are so many good ones. Let's talk about Mary of Edessa. St. Mary of Edessa and St. Abraham Kidunaya. They are just such a beautiful pair. Mary of Edessa was orphaned when she was a little girl. She was 7 years old and both her parents died. And so her uncle, St. Abraham Kidunaya, adopted her. This is the fourth century. It's in modern day Turkey. But he was a hermit, right? So he raised her as this little hermitess. And for 20 years, she's living out in this hermitage and she's super holy and she's praying all day. And there was, the story calls him a monk unworthy of the name, but it was an abusive cleric who met her and set his sights on her and spent a year grooming her and then assaulted her. And she, not realizing what had happened, not realizing that she was a victim, she was like, well, this is who I am now. You know, like I screwed up. You know, obviously we understand this is not something that she freely chose, right? There's this imbalance of power there. And, but she's like, I screwed up. This is all that I am now. And if this is what I've done one time, then this is what defines me. And she ran away to become a prostitute. I mean, this is a nun who's been abused by this cleric who runs away to become a prostitute. And her adoptive father, St. Abraham, realized what had happened, but he didn't know where she had gone. And so he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And finally, he learned in a vision where she was and he went to find her. He left his hermitage for the first time in 2 decades and he went looking for his little girl. And he went to the brothel where she was living and went into her room, you know, paid for her services. And when she came in and she recognized him, he fell on his knees weeping. He said, "This is not who you are. This is not who you are. Come home. God has already forgiven you. I have done penance for you. Come home." Wow. And she was like, you know, what am I going to do? Right. And so she goes, but she thinks, well, I'm going to spend the rest of my life as a penitent. I'm just going to have to fast to do penance for this horrible thing that I've done. Right. You know, like, and so often I think this is our experience that something awful happens to us and we take that as our identity. But at a certain point there's some freedom in the choice that we're making. Right. And you know, here's this woman who should have known the mercy of God, should have understood that God wanted to forgive her. But because of her trauma, she wasn't able to hear that until she heard it from this loving father who showed her the love of God the Father. And so she was like, all right, I'll go home and I'll just do penance the rest of my life. And God the Father was like, that is not how this works. And he made her a miracle worker. Wow. Within 2 years, he had not only restored her, but he had made her a woman who everybody in the surrounding country flocked to, because he was like, people need to understand that your trauma does not define you. Your abuse does not define you. Your sin does not define you. Only I define you. Only grace and only mercy. So I think she's such a beautiful witness for people who have experienced clerical abuse, for anybody who has experienced trauma or abuse and maybe who's acted out in response to that. He, St. Abraham Kidunaya, is such an incredible witness for priests to love people who've had that experience, for men to be fathers who pour out their hearts to their broken children. I just think the pair of them are so important for our church right now and for our world right now.
Wow, that is beautiful. We are here with Meg Hunter Kilmer, and we are discussing her book, Pray for Us, 75 Saints Who Sinned, Suffered, and Struggled on Their Way to Holiness. We are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Evert, and we are here with the beautiful Meg Hunter Kilmer, and we are discussing her book, Pray for Us, 75 Saints Who Suffered, sinned, and struggled on their way to holiness. And it's really beautiful the way you lay this book out. And I love, like, part one is saints who defied expectations. And then you go through in different chapters. Then part two, saints who never gave up. And how many times do a lot of us want to give up, right? Part three, saints who had great adventures. Part four, saints who lived ordinary lives. And sometimes we think being a saint is doing all of these extraordinary things, but Saint Therese definitely taught us different. And she became extraordinary through her ordinary life, right? With great love. Part five is saints with difficult families. A lot of us can relate to that. Part six are saints who found holiness through suffering. And a lot of us are going through suffering. And I go through these and there's so many more, but you really break it down in such a beautiful way that anyone could just flip through this, look up a saint or look at what they're struggling with, and then find a saint that really resonates with them. So how can a person use this book and what would you recommend?
So I wrote the table of contents to be super clickbaity. So when you open it up and you see a satanic high priest turned preacher of the rosary, or an opium addict who never got clean, or the village simpleton who became a brilliant nurse. And really, I was thinking, you're going to hand this to an eighth grader who doesn't want to pick a confirmation saint. And they're going to be like, this is dumb. And you're like, look, just read the table of contents. That's all I'm asking. Read the table of contents. And they're like, the hermit who spent every night with a different prostitute. And you're like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Read the story. See what happens. Like, that sounds interesting. And then in the back, there are indices. So you can look the saints up alphabetically, of course, chronologically, by feast day, by country of origin, or the country where they lived. And then the topical index. So you can look up infertility, and you can look up mental illness, and you can look up racism, and you can look up writers and sacrifice and scientists and suicidal ideations and teachers and uncertainty, you know, so that you can find somebody who resonates with you. And I think these stories are all fantastic. Otherwise, I wouldn't have picked these saints. So you can start at the beginning and you can read cover to cover. But I really think there are also a lot of very easy entry points where you can just be like, look, right now, I just need somebody who was an absolute mess, right? And you look up in the back and you're like, okay, who was somebody who was just a disaster? I'm going to read that story and I'm going to think, well, my life isn't that bad. So there's hope for me yet.
Isn't it too often that we do that? Well, it's not that bad. And those are bad words in my household. Like, it's not that bad, Mom. What I'm watching isn't that bad. But that video game, it's not that bad. There's so many worse. And I'm like, do you know? And I tell my kids, those words got me in a lot of trouble and I'm not going to let it happen to you. And I'm like, that is the key. It opens the door to whatever's tempting you and the demons on the other side. And it's going to keep tempting you even worse. Like, hell's on the other side. And that's the key, honey. And that's pretty intense stuff. But at the same time, that's the reality. Because if we try to justify a sin, well, it's not that bad. Well, if it's a sin, it's a sin and it's bad, period. You know, we can't sugarcoat a sin. So if it's bad, it's bad. But if it's that bad, well, it's bad, you know, and we can't justify it. But with these saints, this is so perfect because my son's friend came over and he's like, well, saints are kind of fairy tales because they go to a public school and he has to go to this little group there for a reason. And he's like, well, they're just fairy tales. They're not real. I always thought they were just like Star Wars or something. I was like, did you just say that to me? You know, and I was in such shock. But then we got this conversation, but this book was so perfect, you know, because it really brings it down to the level of the person that needs it at that level. And even in my life, especially in high school and college, I was definitely at that level of, you know what, saints are just like pie in the sky. And it's just like something that's unreachable, but something that we can just look up to and something that can happen in my life. But that grace is for everybody. And I bet you of all people know that studying so many unbelievable, amazing saints around the world.
From all over the place. And that's one thing that's been really important to me in my work with the saints is I want people to see themselves. I want them to see their struggles. I want them to see their suffering, but I also want them to see their culture. Mm-hmm. So Pray For Us is more than half Black, Indigenous, and people of color. I've also got a children's book called Saints Around the World. That's 100 stories of saints from 70 different countries. I think this is another thing where people feel like, oh, well, the saints are irrelevant to me because, you know, like, I'm Black or I'm Latino or I'm Asian and the saints are all European. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. just the stained glass windows. And we're working on that too.
Yeah.
But there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of saints from Asia and hundreds of saints from Latin America. And so to be able to get to know these saints and to say, oh, like here's somebody from my culture. Here's somebody with my experience who's somebody who dresses like my grandmother, you know, and to see yourself. And that's something that's just so important for people who feel like maybe the church is something foreign to them, or maybe the pursuit of holiness is something that feels foreign to them. It feels like a fairy tale. And then to see like here's Venerable Alphonse Gallegos, who was a public school kid in Los Angeles in the mid 20th century. And you're like, oh, dang, he's a public school kid in Los Angeles and he's going to be a saint, you know,
like, yes,
this is so real. Like, this is something that I'm invited to also.
Yes. And even for youth ministers, I mean, mm-hmm. to really bring it down to their level, or if you're a mom at home or a dad struggling with really kind of conveying the faith, maybe get this book and just pick a saint that's appropriate for the age levels and go through a saint a night. And that's something that I wanted to start here for the new year with the kids. Like, we're just going to keep going through these saints, but some of them, we got to skip some of them, you know, for the age group. Other ones are incredibly appropriate and amazing. And then maybe when you're having a night out with the olders, you kind of go through the other saints. But it's something that really will help make it tangible, especially for our poor teenagers growing up in this day and age, which is so confusing on so many levels, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for them to see that there have been difficult times before, right? Like, you know, we keep talking about this being unprecedented times, but nobody has ever lived in a time when it was just easy to be holy. And everybody was pursuing virtue and everybody loved Jesus. Like, it's always been difficult. And that's okay, because that's the way that saints are made, is running after Jesus, regardless of what the world around you is saying.
And pray for us. It isn't an ordinary saint book. It's just not, Meg. And I really commend you for that. And it really goes through the sorrows, the struggles, just broken people, and these saints who just lived their lives and they dedicated themselves to God and his work. And it's just beautiful. And these fascinating stories that you came up with, and it goes through all walks of life, right? And how they were all called to holiness. And God really can transform anyone, even grouchy theologians to bratty teenagers into saints, right? And it's beautiful that you can discover that anyone that had any type of vice, that God can turn into a saint, and that you really can trust in the Lord.
And that there can be excitement and adventure too. I think I talk to a lot of, especially young people who are like, well, I'm not going to be a saint. I don't want this dull, ordinary life. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about the war nurse, jungle surgeon, evangelist nun. Or let's talk about this bishop who was killed by communist pirates while he was fighting them with his fists in order to protect his spiritual daughters. Or let's talk about these scientific geniuses, right? The Venezuelan pastor who's a blessed now, or the man who figured out what fossils were, who's a blessed now. You know, like, there's just so much room to be the person that God made you to be. You don't have to tamp down your intellect to be a saint, or your sense of humor to be a saint, or your sense of adventure to be a saint. God made you on purpose the way that he wanted you. And he wants to make you a saint exactly as you are.
You know, we're living in such a time where great saints are made, and there's been specific moments in time in different generations where this happens. And I truly do feel we're in that time right now. And as things intensify, and as we kind of move along here with the way things are going, that to be honest and real with your kids about our faith, and that it's not all just saccharine. It's not all just sitting in a pew on Sunday, but it's so much more than that. And it's really who you are and how you live, and what you do and the decisions you make matter greatly. And it holds weight. It holds heavenly weight. And it matters here on earth what it is you do, and that we don't relate to the world. And we sometimes try to solve our lives in a worldly way. And I think that's why, as people of faith, we get frustrated, because we realize we have to kind of separate ourselves, that we don't solve our problems necessarily on a on a worldly level, but we always have to go to God with our problems, and he'll help us solve our problems on a spiritual level, because we're not supposed to be of this world. Does that make sense? And I think the saints really grasp that in their lives.
And there's something beautiful too about the ones who were called to use the world, right? Who weren't called to step out entirely. I'm thinking of Venerable Teresita Quevedo, who was captain of the basketball team, voted best dressed in her class, loved bullfights, drove her car too fast for her dad's taste. He wouldn't drive with her. And you look at pictures of this young woman and she's movie star pretty. She died at 19. This isn't before she was holy. This is what holiness looked like for her, is playing tennis and passing notes and piercing her friend's ears with a safety pin, right? Like, I always tell teenage girls, I'm not advocating that. Go to Claire's. It's fine. But just to recognize that sometimes it feels like a lot to say the world is against you and you have to step out and you have to be countercultural, and to recognize that for some people, God is saying, no, it's okay. It's okay to love the things of this world if you love me more. And you can be pretty and fun and popular and also be a saint if your first priority is holiness. Like, sometimes God gives you the rest of it along with it. And just to have those saints who can be a little encouragement as a first step, right? Of saying, well, I don't know that I'm ready to shave my head and become a nun, right?
Yeah.
But like, I could pray a rosary before my basketball game. Like, I could do that and let the Lord work with that.
Absolutely. I love that. And you make it so real. Again, we are talking with Meg Hunter-Kilmer about 75 Saints Pray for Us book. And these saints really struggle. I love how absolutely real, and I said this before in the first segment, how real and tangible that you make all of them. And they're just real everyday people who struggled with everyday serious problems, some of them, but they overcame them and they have that sainthood that they were blessed with at the end of their lives. And it's not far-fetched. It's not some fairy tale. It's real. And that we're all called to be a saint. How much do you know about Pere Giorgio Frassati?
I would say a good amount. He's in my other book. He's not in Pray for Us, but he's in Saints Around the World. And he's hiking with the Matterhorn in the background and a big old smile on his face. He's great. People just love the reality, right? And the joy and the humor of Pier Giorgio Frassati.
I have a picture in our hallway of him with his cigar and he's hiking in the mountains. He's just like a man's man. And it's so good for my boys to see that, right? And I think parents out there, it's really good to get pictures of saints and like Mother Teresa and saints of our time that are real tangible saints that they can look up to, that they can go look up on the internet and watch videos and pictures. And Padre Pio, I found this website of Padre Pio actually praying the rosary in Latin. And I was just like, I can pray with Padre Pio. This is amazing. You know,
yeah. Like,
it was so unbelievable and so neat for my kids to actually see that, because it's something tangible, because we see pictures of him all over the churches and this and that. And then there he was right in front of them on the internet praying a rosary, you know, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So to find those saints as well, and it'll have helped my children that these people are real. They're not just some painting. They're not just some fairy tale. They are real people that really devoted their lives to God. And he just blessed them for that. And I think the world and people these days want to separate themselves from the suffering. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants, it's like they want Jesus without the cross. And you can't separate the two. It doesn't work that way. And I heard someone say that, what, do you want a cross made out of styrofoam? It doesn't work that way. You know? A cross is heavy and sometimes it's overwhelming for you, but that's why Jesus is there to help you. He already conquered it. He already conquered death, and he's going to help you carry whatever cross to whatever sainthood path that you are on. And just know that if it does get too heavy, that's where we kind of have to just go to adoration, go to confession, go back to him, go in silence, in adoration, and just sit there. And a lot of people think, well, what does God want to do with me? Why would God talk to me? Well, why wouldn't he? He loves you. He created you. He's there for you. And that's a perfect example of all of these different saints that you're showing us.
Yeah. And seeing just the way that God's love radiated into their lives and then through their lives. I think that,
yes.
I mean, my goal in life is to help people understand how wildly God loves them. And the only reason I'm interested in the saints is because I think when we read the lives of the saints, we begin to believe it's possible that God loves us too.
Absolutely. Now, if people want to find more information about you and all of your wonderful books, and especially your children's book, and what was the name of that children's book again?
Saints Around the World.
Wonderful. Where can they find your book, and where can they find more information about you, Meg?
So the best bet for the books is to go to saintsaroundtheworld.com. And you can see the pictures from Saints Around the World. And if you go to the buy page, you can see all of the different options for buying Saints Around the World, for buying Pray for Us. If you Google Hobo for Christ, I'm a missionary. I live out of my car. So you can find my website and follow me on Instagram and Facebook. I'm mostly active on social media these days. I have a blog and a podcast and all of those things, but sometimes I forget those exist for like a year or two at a time. Yeah. Instagram, I always remember though. Instagram, I'm in.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today. And you are so encouraging, and your book is absolutely phenomenal. I really encourage everyone out there to go get it, especially if you have teenagers, college students, even for yourself and your struggles. It's just a really excellent, well-written book. So thank you for being here, and you really bless us, and just know you will be in our prayers.
Thank you so much, Chrislyn. I really appreciate it.
God bless.
God bless you.
I want to thank my guest today, Megan Hunter Kilmer, for being on here. I just appreciate you so much and putting this out there for everyone that needs it so badly right now. And I really encourage you to get this book. I have it, and it is absolutely wonderful. And I want to leave you with a beautiful quote from Mother Angelica. And she says, "Saints are ordinary people with compassion of the Father in their souls, the humility of Jesus in their minds, and the love of the Spirit in their hearts." I love Mother Angelica. And for all things Catholic, go to EWTN. And I really encourage you to please download the app so you can hear the latest on what's going on in the news with the church. And there are prayers. You can do the rosary while you're cooking, while you're cleaning, while you're driving. You can listen to Mass. You listen to the daily scriptures. There is so much and wonderful, amazing shows that are life-giving that you can even help your family spirituality and sit and maybe after dinner or every Sunday, watch a show on EWTN. They have it on demand where you can watch numerous things of all ages and different topics. And instead of going to Netflix or the typical binge watching TV that we go to, try going to the EWTN app. You can even download it on your TV for those of you that maybe have Apple TV. Watch something that's life-giving. Maybe do that tonight, Saturday night, or tomorrow. But know all of you are in my prayers. And if you could please keep me and my family in yours. Have a wonderful Saturday, everyone. And I'll see you next week. God bless.